Let's call the meeting to order. If we could, it's 10:30 by my clock. Okay, this meeting is called to order. Kathy, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Robert Boyd. Here. Trustee Matthew Holmes.
Here.
Trustee Timothy Struthers.
Here.
Trustee Eric Wasowitz. Committee Chair Dennis Barsima.
Here. Thank you. And I do believe Trustee Wasowitz is here, but not physically here right now. Okay, Mr. Brady, would you please confirm that the appropriate notices of this meeting have been provided?
Mr. Committee Chair, we have a quorum and appropriate notices have been provided.
Okay, thank you very much. Moving next to agenda item number 3, may I have a motion to approve the committee agenda as proposed? Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you, Tim. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the motion is passed. Agenda item number 4, review and approval of the minutes from our last meeting of February 16th. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the February 16th, 2017 LARI committee meeting? Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the motion is approved. I would like to welcome all of our members of the University Advisory Committee who are present here this morning. I see Holly Nicholson, Greg Long, and also Kathy Doderline. Welcome this morning. Any comments from our representatives?
Good morning. As we continue, obviously, to have our concerns about the state budget, I'm so thankful that we also continue to have so much to celebrate. As Trustee Coleman mentioned earlier, obviously, this past weekend was our commencement, which was, of course, a wonderful experience. And also, we're kind of moving into a season that I always get particularly excited about, which is summer internship season. Students are doing internships all year round, but certainly the summer is our most robust participation. And I thought that ties in nicely with the corporate partnerships that we're going to hear about today and that we hear about often in this committee. They obviously create opportunities to support research and really help our academic side of the house, but then also help that sort of outside of the classroom experience as well. Discover, who you'll hear about and we've been hearing about a little bit, not only is going to have that amazing space, but also is very good at recruiting our students for internship opportunities. And then certainly IDEAL is not only a great partner for things like their entrepreneurship program, but also mentoring, practice interviews, internships, really just kind of the whole gamut. So I really value the extent to which those connections really contribute to the entire campus, not just one segment. So
okay,
thank you.
Great. Thank you, Kathy. Dr. Long or Holly, do you have any comments to make?
Sure. Always given the chance, I will. I just want to say just a couple very quick words in support of research at the university. When we think of budgetary times, think about how to save money. Oftentimes, we might look at research as an area of, oh, well, let's cut that because universities should just be for teaching. And really what distinguishes a university from a college is the highlight and emphasis on research and artistry. And if we're going to continue to recruit the best and brightest faculty and students, I think we encourage continued support for and emphasis on research. We need that. It also is a great way of, you know, when we do our research, we're engaged with students. I mean, none of us are doing research entirely by ourselves. We get students involved, so it provides good engagement for them, good career training, and so just want to put in a final note of, you know, go research. We need to continue that as part of the university experience.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Holly. Thank you for your comments. And I would also add on to that and kind of a continuation from a discussion from the last meeting is from a recruiting standpoint, the recruiting costs that any company, any university pays are outrageous, you know, to do searches. And, you know, the world that we live in today, The whole process of doing searches is changing, and I encourage our faculty, our administration, when we're doing searches, to please use all creative methods that are out there for us to save money, but also do an effective job in recruiting the best, because clearly we don't want to sacrifice talent, but we also, you know, that whole world of recruiting is changing pretty dramatically and quickly, and I know it is in the corporate space, and I would assume it is here as well. And so let's take advantage of that so we can spend less money paying to recruiters and more money for the university to use. Okay, agenda item number 6. It's this point in the agenda where we would like to recognize members of the public who have complied with the state law and the Board of Trustees bylaws by registering their written request to address the board. Mr. Brady, have you received any timely request to address this meeting?
Mr. Committee Chair, no, I have not.
Okay. Moving on to agenda item number 7. At this point in time, I'm gonna turn the microphone over to Mike Mann to give us an update on the state legislative state of affairs, item 7A. But before I do that, and I know we're going to publicly recognize Mike here in about an hour or so, but seeing that this is Mike's last meeting with us and that he's going to be retiring and moving out west, I just, from the standpoint of this committee that Mike has worked very closely with over the last 2.5 years, thank Mike for his 4 years of service that he's given to NIU and the 2.5 years of service that you've given to the Board of Trustees and to this committee. So thank you very much, Mike. We really appreciate your service.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And at this point in time, for the last time, I'll turn the microphone over to you.
Thank you very much. And away we go. At your places, you will find my state budget update. I apologize for the late distribution, but most of the information contained in the report today refers to action that occurred yesterday. So I'm not a real popular guy on campus when I don't adhere to my rules for agenda book distribution. And I break my own rules on deadlines. But Kathy's okay with that, I think. Anyway, on the report, a couple of things I'd like to mention. Yesterday it was announced that the state's backlog of unpaid bills has surpassed $14 billion. And the other number I'd like to throw out to you is that there are only 13 days in this legislative session left. Any action taken past May 31st would require a supermajority of votes. And so there is incentive for the General Assembly to get their work done. There's also incentive, even prior to the May 31st, there's incentive to reach a supermajority on legislation, because if there's not bipartisan support for these pieces of legislation and the budget pieces, it's very unlikely that the governor would actually sign off on the bills. So to the report, the Illinois Senate continues to work aggressively on the aggressive Senate grand bargain. Yesterday, they took up several different bills, approved several pieces of the grand bargain. They approved Senate Bill 6, which is the budget piece. I would caution, though, that they did not pass the budget implementation bill that's required to enact the budget bill, and they also didn't address the omnibus tax bill. And it looks like work will continue. Comments today are pretty positive. I think the hope is that there will be some agreements and some compromises reached. I think I would like to point your attention to Table 2, which is the last page of your packet, and it's also up on the screen. This is the budget piece. This gives a little history. You've seen this table before. It shows in the blue line that in FY15 we were at $91 million. The stopgap budget we received in FY16 was only $26 million. For FY17 to date, we've received $48.3 million. The grand bargain, as you'll see the two green columns, the headings on the two green columns, the grand bargain bill, the budget bill in the grand bargain, actually includes funding for us to close out FY17, as well as includes funding for FY18. For FY17, it includes $42.8 million, which for FY17 would get us back up to the FY15 funding level. And then for FY18, it includes $77.4 million. That's a 15% budget cut. That's in line with the governor's budget recommendation. I would also note that at the bottom of that column, you'll see a $60 million recommendation for performance funding. That is an opportunity for public universities to potentially earn back at 5% of their funding. So in other words, we're cut 15%, depending on the metrics and how we're viewed and evaluated, we could cut that to a 10% loss based on the IBHE formula and implementation of that formula. Another couple of key items I'd just like to point out, that the General Assembly did pass Senate Bill 4 yesterday, which is the bill to the borrowing bill to pay down debt. When this legislation was first drafted, $7 billion would have almost wiped out the debt at that time. The debt is now $14 billion, but it would still go a long way toward paying down some of the mountain of bills that the comptroller is sitting on right now. Very quickly, I would just like to point out that even though most of our discussions here in front of this committee, I focus a lot on budgetary items, I would like to note that during this legislative session, we have been tracking, taking positions on, monitoring approximately 35 to 40 substantive bills, non-budget related. There's only a few of those that are currently in play right now at the end of the session. I would like to note that the Senate Bill 888, which was the bill that would have granted the authority to community colleges to offer a four-year baccalaureate degree in nursing, failed in committee 7-6, and the sponsor has announced that he is done. He will not pursue some procedural attempts to revive it. So that was a good outcome. The Senate Criminal Law Committee today will be hearing House Bill 3142, which is a bill that prohibits universities from asking prospective students if they had been convicted of a felony. That is a contentious bill. The universities are opposed, and we're tracking that one and working that one diligently. And I think with that, I'll stop. I'll ask President Baker, who's highly engaged with this process as well, with his counterparts at universities, if he's got any comments or any members of the committee have any questions, I'd be happy to entertain them.
I'll just note that the person tracking those 35 bills was Mike, and we're going to miss his efforts in Springfield. He knows his way around. I know Matt Streb is going to do a great job too, but I just want to thank Mike for his diligent work on that. And we've gotten a lot farther on these and played defense on the ones we needed to play defense on, I think, very effectively. So, Mike, thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
And I think he and I are both as optimistic as we've been in 2 years today.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, Eric.
So, Mike, I was just curious. I had heard that there was a chance that they were going to change so, as far as how state universities handle are handled through the procurement laws, that may change. What's the status on that?
One of the procurement measures did pass yesterday. Senate Bill 8 procurement, it passed yesterday. This just repeals an expiration date that actually it gives us a little more flexibility. There were some items that that were exempt from various procurement restrictions and regulations and guidelines, and that expired a couple of years ago. So this isn't a massive overhaul.
Okay. But a step.
But it's a step, yes.
Yeah. So we're not paying double and triple for everything
right.
we buy.
Right.
So, okay.
I guess the other thing I would, your question also reminded me that there has also been action taken to uncouple all of these bills. Previously, each one of them had to pass for any of them to be put into law, but there have been amendments offered that have taken that have stricken that language. So each of these could stand alone. Of course, the budget piece and the budget implementation piece and the revenue piece are the three yep. key that have to be approved for this to go anywhere. But if minimum wage doesn't go through, that doesn't mean the whole package is sunk, though. So this could be
good.
This could be a grand bargain light, if you will. Yep. If you will.
And there, do you feel there's true bipartisanship going on here?
More than we've seen in the past couple of years. I think there is a true desire to not leave until something is done.
Okay.
Other questions?
Yeah, I would just mention also in your packet, there's a table one that shows the Lifeline bill, which is House Bill 109. If for some reason the grand bargain would stall, there would be a potential. There's a House Bill 109. It's on the third reading in the Senate. It has passed the House. It's not a lot of money, but it provides us with $12 million in operating funds for this year, and it provides about a 75% MAP appropriation for this year, which would be about 75% of the $18 million that our students are waiting on that the state owes them for their MAP awards for student financial need.
So this is a bit of a kick the can.
This is similar to the stopgap that they approved last year in April. Yeah. This is based on the amount of money that's available in the Education Assistance Fund. It's better than zero, but we're definitely hoping for a grand bargain type budgetary solution.
Okay. Other questions? Okay, we'll move on, and I'll pass the microphone. Mike, thanks very much. I'll pass the microphone on to Dr. Jerry Blasey, who will cover items 7B, C, and D.
Thank you, Chair Barsema. In the interest of saving time today, I was just going to give the highlights of our sponsored programs report, Federal Relations report, and Office of Innovation report for the last quarter. I will note that Assistant VP Little, Director Quieter, and Assistant Director Redberg are all present and can take some questions if needed. Dr. Quieter, are you on the phone?
Yes, I'm on the phone.
Okay, thank you. Okay, first with respect to Sponsored Programs Administration, I think the top line message is that our faculty productivity, as measured by quantity of sponsored programs, remains on par with FY16, which is really an excellent outcome given the state and federal funding pressures that we're under. Total funding to date is slightly above our FY16 level at $17 million. And research funding is up 14% relative to FY16 at $6 million. And this research funding is dominated by Department of Congress, National Science Foundation, Department of Energy, Department of Ed, and the Department of State. It's always nice to consider a few highlights because they show the quality and excellence of our faculty, as Dr. Long and others have referred to earlier today. One of them is that we have received an NSF-sponsored research experience for undergraduates. This is a highly sought award because it promotes both research and the experience for undergraduates, which helps with recruitment and retention and the attractiveness of our programs. We've also received a Small Business Innovation Research Award, or an SBIR, in computer science, which speaks to the innovative nature of our faculty, where they go into a partnership with another small business to promote research and marketing their efforts. And as a third example, I'd just like to note that one of our faculty did receive a National Endowment for Humanities Award in History. As you can imagine, funding in these areas is very, very restricted, extremely competitive, and the fact that our faculty are able to get an award from NEH speaks very well of them. Okay, so now I'd like to turn to the Federal Relations Report. I'll try to keep on the budget and NIU's interests, starting with a report that on the first week of May, President Trump signed the bipartisan bicameral FY 2017 omnibus, which funds the federal government through the remainder of the fiscal year. This was actually quite important for NIU priorities, nearly about which all were maintained or increased relative to FY 2016, which is just amazing given the climate. Highlights of the bill are that it reinstates year-round Pell Grants, extremely important for us, and it includes $2 billion in new funding for the National Institutes of Health. Looking into the future, neither the House nor the Senate has passed their budget resolution, which would set the overall budget levels for FY 18. Therefore, the Senate and House Appropriations Committees are proceeding with FY 18 top-level funding values from the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015. So they're reaching back that many years to try to put some regular order into the system. In March 2017, NIU weighed in with Illinois, with a congressional delegation on our FY 18 appropriations process by submitting our programmatic request for 11 agencies, which encompass our portfolio. With respect to federal engagement, in March, President Baker, Dean McCord, Professor Cimarella, and Alumni Association Assistant Director Smith met with Senators Duckworth and Durbin. And back here at NIU in April, or just last month, we hosted the Ambassador of the Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, Anthony W.J. Phillips Spencer, at a retirement celebration for Professor Cliff Alexis. And just last week, Senator Duckworth spent a good part of the day with us here, presiding over the commissioning ceremony for NIU ROTC cadets. She also dined with members of the senior cabinet and student association leaders. And that was very productive and frank discussion about NIU interests and the state of politics in Washington, D.C. Okay, so I'll finish up with a report on corporate partnerships. Two main items. Discussions continue with Discover Financial about the on-campus internal program and the lower internship program in the lower level of Founders Memorial Library. As a reminder, up to 30 undergrads, mostly from computer science, will be hired per year as interns to develop web and mobile software applications. On April 17th, a draft agreement was sent to Discover and is still under their review. They will be visiting us on June 1st, I believe is the correct date, where a number of issues will be discussed. We're getting down to the details, implementation, and how to start building out the library. We anticipate Discover will request about 5,000 to 5,500 square feet, and the lease will generate approximately $100,000 in revenue per annum for the university, sufficient to cover costs. And we can use it for other initiatives. I'd just like to note this has been a great team effort involving the Office of General Counsel, Facilities, College of Liberal Arts and Science, the Foundation, DOIT, and also our division. And we thank the board for their support and advice. Turning to a second corporate partnership, the IDEALS Industry NIU Entrepreneurship Advisory Board has selected 15 students for the program's second cohort. The good news there is IDEAL thought that this was a great success and wanted to go into the second year. And the two teams have already started working on their projects for IDEAL. One of the nice things this year is that these students are from various disciplines, including not only just business and engineering technology, but there are students from poli-sci, econ, and the School of Art and Design. It was always our ambition to reach out to all disciplines and engage students from all the colleges, and we're getting closer and closer to that. Both teams from the first cohort were successful in their business plan pitch and are finishing their semester as paid interns. They are in the early phases of product development for their project, and IDEAL has filed a provisional patent on one of their technologies. So the students are getting jobs, patents are being created. There's nothing not to like about this program. So that concludes my updates for the committee, and I and my colleagues will be happy to answer any questions.
What are we doing on both the Discover and the Ideal Industries plan, which are tremendous programs, to replicate those with other companies?
So right now, we form a small team with Corinne Bredberg and I and Chad Glover from Division of Academics to start putting together a coherent program centered on the innovation, or 71 North, or the Innovation Center and the library, which will try to scale out, it's develop a spectrum of opportunities for businesses where one end of the spectrum is Ideal, where they do everything with their resources, and the other one is Discover, where we're collaborating and using our resources to support their efforts. So we're building a spectrum of opportunities that will be housed in the library to engage business. We also plan to build out a programmatic effort to provide information to students who want to get involved in innovative activities that will supplement those internship opportunities that we hope to put in place in the library area. Part of our thinking is to really jumpstart an innovation effort for our students. We have to have students down there, students who are interested, who are inclined to get involved in innovation, and we think this set of interns from these various efforts would be that cohort. We're working hard. We meet weekly on a draft prospectus for this initiative, and we're getting close to start rolling it out to select advisors to get their view on whether we'd give it the smell test to help us kind of tune the pitch that it represents, but we're not quite there yet.
Do we have the foundation and April Arnold involved?
Oh,
in
yes,
these discussions?
Absolutely they are.
Okay. So Jerry, are we working with marketing and PR over here as far as, because we have to market it internally, I would think, just so people
know
what
actually,
it's all about.
Yeah, actually, we haven't gotten to that point yet. That's one of the groups that we should definitely include when we start reaching out for advice.
I highly suggest they get involved. Yep. And I think where Dennis is going with this is it's repeatable processes, so we can package this and then just say, here's our program. Yeah. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, thank you. We just have to get to the point where we're confident that we've got a coherent program, and that would be the next step.
Well, the most important check that a customer writes you is not the first check, but it's the second check, right? Because that means they liked what they got the first time. And the fact that Ideal Industries is in the process of writing the second check, I think that that says wondrous things about the program. Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me like we have something that's repeatable. And so that's
awesome. In fact, one of the topics for the advisory committee today is just that. How do we ensure that this program is robust and can continue in many, many years? It's something of a burden or a burden of love for the faculty who get involved, but we are concerned that we have to find a way to be sure that they stay involved and new faculty step up. And just that ability to sustain is one of the topics for the Ideal NIU Advisory Board.
Well,
today.
And this is also an area where alumni can get involved, too, from a mentorship standpoint in terms of mentoring the teams and also giving us leads on companies, in fact, some of their own companies that we can do this with. So,
that's correct.
Yeah, my guess on this is that once we get this templated and we feel good about the process of this, that we'll be able to take this out, and I think this will become very popular.
Yeah.
Just coming from a business standpoint.
So. Yes.
Tim.
We have two new ones here. I'm sure we have some other remnant companies that have been doing some of this activity in the past, or no?
So we have other companies that have been engaging in research, and that's very directed and with contracts, and we need to figure out how to incorporate
there's what I'm thinking,
And one of the problems there is that has a different complexion because it's research-oriented and rather than internship-oriented, and we need to find a way to make a coherent package for those two types of activities.
Yeah, that's what I'm tracking. Thank you.
Right. Tim, just as far as if you look at the remnant companies, the people have been around this before, I would look no further than who's been coming on campus to interview. year over year over year, those are probably the companies that will be sitting there and going, yeah, I want this too.
It's a natural market.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Thank you.
Other questions? Okay. Jerry, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
At this point in time, agenda item number 8, are there any other matters that require the attention of this committee today that anybody has? Okay. The next meeting of LARI committee will be is scheduled for August 17th at 9 a.m. Thank you for all of those that attended our meeting today. And may I have a motion to adjourn? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is approved. The meeting is ended. Thank you very much.
The youngsters on the